Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day. You guys alive? My son just gave me a little, our children's ministry, they do a good job, and they gave me a little thing right here. It says, number one dad, which is true. Dad, you're the best, ! That's true. You're the best dad. Another way of saying that you're the best. And anyway, that was kind of nice to receive that from my five-year-old son. If you're new to Life Creek, welcome, or visiting, welcome to Life Creek. I hope you have a good time of worship. And we really invite you guys afterwards. I know it's if you're new, it's kind of hard, and it can be a little bit awkward. But afterwards is a good time for you to get to get to know you. You know, beyond just the face or your name. And so we really highly encourage you afterwards to go to the fellowship hall, and I'd love to say hi and chat and get to know you a little bit better and welcome you more personally to Life Creek Church. All right? Okay, if you could all rise with me for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. Today's scripture reading comes to us in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And after I finish reading it, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you could all respond by saying, thanks be to God for the truth that God has given the church. Okay? Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. This is God's word. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall never enter my rest. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let me pray one more time and ask for God's help. If you could join me really quick in prayer, bow your heads with me. Beseeching our God in heaven on the throne for help. Let's pray. Our great God, you are a great God. And we should expect great things from a great God. More than what the greatness that man could ever attain. Help us now. We need your help. This thing called the preaching, it just can't be the words that are coming out of my mouth, but must be the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, who is able to reach by your truth into places that we don't even want to go. Where we can't even reach. The inmost parts. So do a conviction, a deep conviction in our minds and our hearts, I pray. God, we need your help. Do that miracle. We need that miracle. Something that only you are able to do. Please do not leave us to ourselves, but do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us, the very power of God, the power of your Spirit, I pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. We are going through the whole entire Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and we're going to take each book and do a sermon or two on each book all the way through Revelation. And right now we're on this book, the third book, the book of the book of Numbers. And if I could choose a topic that is most neglected, not really talked about on the pulpit, there's many. You know, one of my hobbies is to listen to sermons. You know, my pastor friend's sermons, all kinds of sermons. That's one of my hobbies. Put a sermon in before I go to bed. I can't sleep like my wife. You know, she goes in bed, she's knocked out in like 5 minutes. I'm like, I need an hour. You know, and I, for some reason, unless I'm really, really tired. And so I usually plug in a sermon to hear. And I rarely hear sermons about hell. It's in the Bible, but you don't really hear that. And for the past 15 years of listening to sermons, a lot of sermons, I don't really hear, not really popular, sermon on hell, or even sermon on what even Elder Frank just read in the book of Psalms. Those who love God fear God, fearing the Lord. We don't hear a lot of sermons about that, you know. Or even Christian books on fearing God or about hell. Another thing that I think that's really neglected is the ways of the Lord that the book of Numbers talk about. The ways of God. I mean, I don't know when's the last time you heard a sermon that talked about what are the ways of the Lord. What are they? Why is that important? When was the last time you heard a Bible study topic on the ways of the Lord? Or a small group topic, discussion group on the ways of the Lord? I bet you could probably not guess or even been in a conversation or study or hearing on the pulpit on the ways of the Lord. And yet, knowing the ways of the Lord is crucial. Crucial in your relationship with God, in your relationship with Christ. Let me say that one more time. Knowing the ways of the Lord is crucial. It's not a side issue. Just like knowing popular topic about the love of God is important, this is as important. Knowing the ways of the Lord is important in your intimate relationship with God. Drawing closer to God. I mean, when was the last time you heard that? And so we're going to try to explore that this morning. And before we get there, let me say one more thing about our Bible. And because we're going through, you know, I mean, there's, you know how many books are there in the Old Testament? That's like at least 39 sermons. There are 39 books. If you just do one sermon per book, it's 39 sermons. The Old Testament is a Christian book. It is not irrelevant, as some of people say. It is not passé, as some would also say. And is not old-fashioned, as someone would claim. Old and New Testament make up true Christianity. Say that one more time. The Old Testament is a Christian book. It's not just a Jewish document. The whole Bible is a Christian book. And the reason I'm saying this is because there is a brand of Christendom that want to unhinge the Old Testament. I mean, Elder Frank just brought it up about a law about if you don't obey your parents. It actually says that about stoning, a difficult passage. There's many difficult passages in the Old Testament and the New. It seems like some churches and some leaders and pastors, because of these difficult passages, especially in the 21st century, want to unhinge, take away, forget about the Old Testament. That is extremely, extremely dangerous. And just focus on the New Testament. That's Old Testament passé, old-fashioned. Weird stuff is going on. Extremely, extremely dangerous. 855 times the New Testament authors quote, 855 times the New Testament authors quote the Old Testament, quote it. Just like our text right now, word by word. You know how many times that is? I mean, there's about 300 pages. I mean, I have a pretty thick book, pretty thick Bible, you know. There's about 300 pages in the New Testament. If there's 855 times the New Testament authors quote the Old Testament, that's three times per page, almost. And for churches and leaders and pastors to want to unhinge the Old Testament, very dangerous. It's happening. I've heard it. You get half of God if you do that. You don't get the full picture. The holistic view of what the Christian is. If the apostles, the New Testament writers, were alive today, they'll, what's happening, what's been believed and being preached and taught in today's some of churches today about unhinging the Old Testament, they'll roll all over their graves. All right. And so that's a little bit introduction to the ways and the Old Testament. And I will say that more because I'm hearing it more and more these days on the pulpit, in books, about the Old Testament, especially right now, especially. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to be a church. I mean, that's not even a church, really, to take three-fourths of our Bible and unhinge it, okay, and rely on right here as the Christian faith. No, no, no. All right. Why? I have like, let's see, three points and one application. Number one, why are the ways of the Lord important to the Christian or the church? I mean, why is the book of Numbers relevant for us now? Number two, what is meant by the ways of the Lord? Number three, what are the ways of the Lord? And then learning. The ways of the Lord. Okay, that's where we're going. Number one, why are the ways of the Lord important, not just to Jews, but to Christians or the church in the 21st century? Why is it relevant? Well, the first answer is, the reason it's relevant is because the text that we just read in the book of Hebrews is addressed to the church, right? Because it's the New Testament. Christians is addressed to it. And is quoting this incident in the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers is an event from Exodus in the wilderness for 40 years before they enter the promised land. That account. Oops. Sorry. That incident, when Moses led the people of God out of slavery, and the 40 years that they spent in the wilderness, in the desert, before they went into the promised land, that account, 40 years. And the book of the author of Hebrews quote an incident in the book of Hebrews and telling the Christian why it is relevant for you, not just the Israelites, for us to hear. And look at what he says. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. Just talking to you and me. Where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known, there it is, my ways. And I swore to them wrath. They shall not enter the rest. They saw my works, miracles after miracles after miracle for 40 years in the wilderness, and they didn't take notes. They weren't learning. They weren't paying close attention to God and what He did. And so they did not know my ways. That's why God was angry with that generation. And actually, God was so angry that the fathers, the parents, were left in the desert, killed, and took only the children into the promised land. That's how God felt about that. Because they didn't know His ways. That seems pretty significant when the author of Hebrews is telling us we should know His ways. What are His ways? Why does this make God so angry? It would take a generation that He gets angry. And it's telling the church and to you, you have to know His ways. Or you too will not enter, not Canaan, not the promised land, but the rest, eternal rest in heaven, which the promised land is a picture of. So extremely important. That's why the author of Hebrews is quoting it. Listen. Actually, the ways of the Lord, I'm going to talk about the way, is all throughout the Bible, not just the book of Numbers. It's from beginning to the end. It's the ways of the Lord is saturated in all of the Bible. Both Old and New Testament. That's why the ways of the Lord is important for us today. You need to know what they are. And you need to not only learn it, but study it and be trained in it so you can know. So you won't make the same mistake that the forefathers did in the wilderness. That's the point. It's a lesson for you and I. We will make the same mistake as our parents, after parents, you know, the past generations. Right? It's not a smart thing. I mean, I don't want to make the same mistakes like my father, my parents did. Do you? No, you don't. You want to learn from them and not repeat it. All right. Number two, what is meant by the ways of the Lord? Not a trick question. God is not a thing. God is not a force, as some would claim. God is a person. I don't know if you remember, I said this sort of a similar sermon a long time ago when I did mission sermon. I don't know if you remember, probably not. People say, you remember 10% of what you hear, 50% of what you do, or what you see, observe, and 90% of what you do. So if you didn't take notes back then in the mission sermon, you probably don't remember. But our God is a person. Just like you and I are a person. In other words, God has a personality. Like you and I. You know, one of the reasons why you go on dates with a boy or a girl before you get married, why do you do that? Unless you make sure you're not a jerk, okay? Okay? Why do you do that? Well, it's because you want to know that person beyond, like, where they live. 1606 Secretariat Lane. Right? That's why you go on a date with someone. Beyond the email, what's your email address? Beyond how they look, beyond what kind of car they drive, beyond what kind of job they have. so that you could know that person for real, beyond those outside things about who they are. Right? You want to know their likes and dislikes. That's going beyond the address, beyond the car, what kind of house they live, right? Their loves and their hates. My wife hates pickles. I don't know. I love pickles. Every time, you know, we get a hamburger or something, it's like, can you give me a hamburger without pickles? You know, and so those are, you know, similar things. That's going beyond the address. Their aspirations. Do you know? I mean, do you know some of the people here, their aspirations? Right? Than just their names on Sunday? Their jobs? Their passions? What about their fears? That's going beyond. That's getting to know the person more, who they are, their personality. That's what the ways of the Lord is. These are the things, ways of the Lord is the way that God will prefer to do certain things. Just like you and I prefer to do certain things, right? If you come live with me, right now we have Tasia's older sister and husband from Brazil visiting us, staying us with, you know, for a couple weeks. And so they're going to know a little bit more about me, right, for my person, than someone, a pastor up here preaching. You know what I mean, right? If I live with Pastor Hanju for a month, I'm going to know more about who he is as a person and his personality more than whatever relationship I have with him now. You know, I see him, you know, once a week, right? Right? You know what I mean? If you want intimate relationship, I always hear Christians say, oh, I want to have an intimate relationship with Jesus and God. I want to draw closer to God. I mean, how do you make that happen? By knowing the ways of the word of the Lord. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen if, you know, by osmosis. It doesn't. It takes work. It's to spend time with God. Who is he? What is he like? Right? Why does he prefer to do it this way, not this way? It's all over the Bible. If you want to know God as him as a person, not as a force out there, cold, distant, this is where you start. This is where you learn. You know, a lot of you guys think God is like what I just described. You know, and you want the intimate relationship, and we say that, but I don't think some of us know how to do it. Well, here's the way to get closer to God, to know God beyond the address, beyond that he is the omnipotent God. That's good. He is. It's like living and being in the living room with him and chatting with him, getting intimate with him. A way is a method to accomplish a goal. And the way you would do it, okay? The way I would do it, we have different ways of doing it. And God also has a way of accomplishing his goal, his will, his kingdom. Does that make sense? All right. Then what are, number three, I'm running out of time here. I can't believe I already spoke for like 27 minutes. Good night. What are the ways of the Lord? Let me give you a list, a few, and then I'm going to focus on one and then give you the application, okay? What are the ways of the Lord? Number one, he works through his people. He doesn't work through everyone. He only works through his people. Number two, and this is a hard one for most Americans, especially, you know, by not NBA finals is over. Winning is everything. Have you noticed that about our culture, about America? You can't be second. No one remembers second. No one, I mean, who was the last person in the NBA final? The last team, no one remembers. We don't want to be last. We want to be the winner, number one. Toronto Raptors, you know why I know? Because that's what they won. Everyone's talking about Toronto Raptors. I have no idea who came last in the NBA finals. Or baseball, or whatever. I mean, what's the last company? You know, no, we talk about the top five, the top three or something like that, companies. But God, his way is he wins not by being number one, not by winning. He wins by losing. I mean, Jesus dying on the cross, to most people, that is not a win. Death is not a win. Yeah, for God, it is. That's going to be a hard one for most of us. He always, most often, wins by losing. He uses little. You know, we need millions and billions of dollars and budget to get things rolling in the church or whatever, right? Government. God doesn't need all that. He needs just a little bit. He just needs the mustard seed. He just needs these 12 disciples who were little, right? He didn't get like the most accomplished religious people, the high priest and all the priests, to build a church. You know who he picked? Little people. Nobodies. Like a tax collector, for crying out loud. Tax collector? To be the apostle? That's how he does. There's reasons why he does it. Not time to go through that. He works through his Spirit. That's why I pray. You know, before I pray, I call the Spirit. God, who searches the minds and the hearts of people, Holy Spirit, come and work. Because he works. I know that. So I pray that. He works through his Spirit, which is the power of heaven. He uses time. You know how long it took for Abraham to get his son? How long did it take? 25 years. Do you know how long it took God to free the Israelites from slavery? I mean, he could have done it in a second, but he took time to get things ready, prepare things. You know, I'm confessing here. I bet you guys, most of you guys are like me. You know, when I saw my dad, I'm trying to pick on my dad. I'm just like him, but I remember, he would pick up people, my sister or someone from the airport, right? And then the exact time doesn't match. And so we will wait, and then my dad will get impatient, you know? Like, you know. Maybe he's just worried about, you know how when you go to the airport, right? You can't really park anywhere, right? And the people are just trying to make, you know, get the traffic flowing. And I would be watching my dad. He's so impatient, you know. He couldn't even wait for 30 minutes, you know. And I grow up, and I'm a dad, and I'm almost like my dad. I'm also impatient. We're just impatient people, most of us, if not all. We hate to wait. That's one of God's ways. Wait and wait and wait some more. Wait a year, 2 years, 25 years. And one thing, I'm running out of time, one thing I want to focus on is, another way God does things is through miracles. A simple definition, I mean, I'm sure you could get some philosophical, theologian definition of what miracle is. But simple definition of miracle is something that only God can do. Okay, man can't do what God, only God can do. like God will speak and things exist. I mean, can you do that? God says, let there be light. Boom. It's not magic. It's real. He could do those things. And when you look at the Bible from beginning all the way to the end, he keeps doing miracles after miracles after miracles after miracles. Jesus comes and he keeps his ministry is defined by miracles. His kingdom is defined by miracles. And his apostles, they keep doing miracles. And here we are in this church in the 21st century, and we want to do it. We want to do everything. And pray and nothing happens. Hey. When was the last time you actually prayed for a miracle? Something that only God can do. He's your answer, not you. When's the last time you prayed for that? Not pray, oh God, please tie my shoelaces. Not that kind of prayer. I mean, I could do that. I could tie my own shoelaces. Only something that only he can do. So he gets the credit. Right? One father missionary said this: expect great things from God, which means when you expect that, you're praying for great things. Expect it. And attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. You know, I'm a family of three. I have two older sisters. Older sister Mia, she's a Christian. She became a Christian a couple years after I became a Christian. You know, it is pretty revelatory when you thought you were a Christian, and then when you're on the other side, a real Christian born again, you realize that the families, they're not Christian. And when my sister, older sister, got converted, we knew that our middle sister, she wasn't. You know, it's hard to realize when you're not converted. And so my sister and I and my parents, we've been praying for a miracle. I mean, I got converted in 1995. All these years, my parents and I have been praying for a miracle for my sister. Because salvation is not of man. Salvation is what? Of the Lord. He makes that possible. To raise someone who is dead spiritually and make them alive. To love God, to want God. He's not boring. We've been praying all these years. How many years is that? I can't do my math. 20 plus years. Because we believe in the Bible that God does those kinds of miracles. And if I try to do that, I'll get in the way. There's something that I could do, but that miracle is of the Lord. And so we pray and we wait for the miracle. And let's say she gets converted. Who gets the credit? One of the ways of God is that he gets the what? Glory. If we try to convert her, we get the glory, don't we? We get the credit. When God does that miracle, changing my sister's heart, even today, I'm not sure. Then God will receive glory from us, from me, my sister, my parents. But he did the work. He did the miracle. That is God's ways. And here's the application. You need to learn his ways. It's extremely important that you know. Not just know what they are, but you got to know them cold. You got to be trained in it. You got to learn it. You know what learning is, right? Learning is not just hearing it one time. Learning and training is repeating it over and over and over and over and exercise over and over again until it's part of you. And you do it just automatically. And that's what the church is, my brothers and sisters at Life Creek and visitors and newcomers, is to come and learn the Bible, which are his ways. That's, you must do it. I'm not trying to give you more work, but you have to. I mean, can I just say this? You've heard this before. You just can't. I'm probably going to step on people's toes. You just can't be Sunday Christians. You can't. You got to be weekly Christians. I mean, I don't know what you guys do during the week. Maybe you guys are studying the Bible on your own. But also, the church, God has given us resources and teaching gifts. You know, all these things. You need to come and learn his ways. You know, last week, I promise I'm going to end. Last week, we're going to sing that last song, Pastor Hanju. I tried to teach you guys last week about the holiness of God, about holiness. And look at what the Bible says about holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, to the church, Pastor Hanju and all of us, without holiness, you will not see the Lord. The direct quote. Without holiness. So if that seems pretty important. If you don't have holiness, you can't be with God. You can't see God. No, I want to see God. All of us wants to see God. So my job is, you got to know what that is. I just can't milk that and then put it under the rug. How uncomfortable that might be. You have to know God, who is holy, and what that means for you in the 21st century. If you feel, make you feel uncomfortable, I'm sorry. But I want you to see the Lord. Without holiness, you will not see the Lord. So you got to know his way there. How to be holy. What does it mean for God is to be holy and us to be holy? Be holy as I am holy, he says in Peter, in the New Testament. I am the truth and the way and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You got to know that. There's no other way than Jesus. It's not everyone go to the true God in different ways. There is no different way. There isn't my way and Pastor Hanyu's way and whatever ways. There's only one way to the true God. I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's through Christ, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. You got to know that way or you will not make it. And it's on and on and on about the different ways that the Bible talks about that you and I need to step back, take some time, and to learn. It's not hard. It just takes some commitment. You know, I'm not smart, guys. I'm really not. I'm not trying to be humble. I'm almost done. I promise. And the reason I know a little bit about the Bible is because I just took some time. Because it's important to me. Not just as a pastor, as a Christian. This is important, more important than anything in the world. And so if something's important, I will take some time every day to read and to study and to think in the car, wherever I am. And so I beseech you, I implore you to start, not just learn the ways of the Lord, but so much in the Bible is so rich. Start somewhere. When we have a Bible study or teaching session here, come. Okay? I'm not trying to make so you can't have fun. You need to come and learn. That's one of your job as a Christian, to come and learn, to be taught, to learn. Learning and training in the ways of the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as Pastor Hanja comes up, oh Lord, help us. Let this not just land on unfertile soil or thorns, but it would land on fertile soil. That you will reap fruit 10, 20, 30, 100 fold. Help us, I pray. That we would be devoted, like the early church were devoted to the apostles' teaching. That we have the same spirit, devotion, love for your word. Your word has power. Your word has life. Let not the things of this world keep us from the very thing that we need to learn the ways of the Lord and many other things about you. Help us, I pray. Help this church bring a revival, O Lord, that we would delight and love learning, training, growing in the ways of the Lord, I pray. So we will not be left behind, that we will enter the eternal rest forever with you in heaven, in the promised land, I pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ.